In March 2026, South Africa hosts its first LIV Golf event. For some, this is already a hugely exciting piece of news. But for the average golf person, or indeed average sports fan out there that cheers for people that play with bigger balls, what's all the fuss about? For this answer, and 54 other things about this event, Chris Bentley from LIV Golf is in studio with us. Don't be fooled by his boyish good looks and gentle charm. Chris is a major operator in the world of golf, with this massive event and its coming to South Africa being a fine example of this. Speaking of big things in golf, rounding off the in-studio team this week is the returning Oji Molefe. It's episode 63 of the On The Bounce show. It's the LIV Golf show with Chris Bentley. Let's get into it. All right, welcome to it. Another big golf show, because one of the biggest things in sport, let alone golf, is coming to South Africa in March 2026, as the AI guy points out. For this, I have the best possible panel assembled. On my left is the returning Oji Molefe.
Hello, Ben. Thank nice you to for, have you. I guess people didn't hate me being here, the fact that you invited me.
Oh, I'll have you back any day of the week. But I mean, like, we're about to talk LIV Golf. You've just been to the final, to the Tour Championship final, basically, the final.
Yeah, the team champs out in Michigan, which was such an incredible experience. A completely different format to what's been played the entire season. It's obviously all the teams going up against each other. They had a play-in just before the tournament started. And it was incredible to actually watch those guys in match play situations. And on the final round, back to stroke play, and what incredible golf they displayed throughout the week.
So how many LIV events have you been to now? You got to update your bio. Four-time LIV event golfer.
Four-time
attendee.
Four, I guess. It's what was it? JCB twice, my favorite spot. Korea and now Michigan. So, yeah. And it's cool, man. Like, the thing about it is, I think each location has its own personality.
Absolutely.
So even though, you know, the tournaments are all great and have a similar feel, you can kind of tell by the thumbprint of where you are that there's a kind of different environment that you are. But all of them have been incredible that I've been to.
Incredible. And then obviously to your left is the general manager of LIV Golf for Europe, Middle East and Africa, Chris Bentley.
Yeah.
Chris, I've known you for quite some time within the South African golfing context, always doing great things, always taking the game forward. And it feels like this is a very natural place that you've now ended up at LIV.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, everything I've kind of done up until now has kind of prepared me for LIV Golf. And it's just amazing to be at the forefront of, you know, innovation and creativity and growing the game. So, yeah, super fun. And obviously working with incredible people every single day. And get to hang out with you guys.
Well, that's always the plus. Hey, the expected additional things. So obviously when it was announced that LIV Golf is coming to South Africa, there was a whole bunch of hype around it. Then there was the huge, massive demand for tickets, and obviously the tickets kind of selling out in some aspects. Sports Minister Gayton McKenzie was particularly excited about this coming to Johannesburg and South Africa. So today, I mean, the subject of LIV Golf can go in many different directions. Of course, we are now into, I think, the fourth full season of it now. It's covered the globe, so to speak. It's included some of the biggest names within golf. But for this episode, we are just going to talk about what it means for South Africa and this event. And to kick us off, I kind of went on a bit of a fact-finding jaul / mission with our friends from Tourvest. We went to LIV Spain. You know, you hear so much about these events. And of course, the show is all about bringing you closer to what actually happens in sport. So we kick off with a little snapshot of what a LIV Golf Sunday looks like from Valderrama. LIV Golf, is it worth the hype? What does it look like? What is it like to be here on the ground? We are here in LIV Spain, Andalusia, at Valderrama, and I'm going to show you what a day at a golf tournament like this actually is. We'll be right back.
sê dat jy sê dat die hele tyd jy weet daai mense kan nie nog iets doen. Wat druk?
All right, that is LIV Golf Spain. What an incredible 3 days. This is, of course, just the last day, the Sunday, but I've been here the whole weekend and it was incredible. I've been to a lot of good sporting events before. I've been to some really amazing golf events before, and this is different. And this is the thing. I don't think it's worth comparing LIV to anything else. It's just that they are creating something here. They're creating something new. They're creating something different. And good on them to actually have the balls to carry on with something that is very different. It really is. The whole shotgun start thing, the small field, the select events. But it's so fun. And the cool thing is, it's like when you look around at other fans enjoying the experience, there's a very sort of like, communal benefits here. People are excited to be here, but it's so fun. And the cool thing is, it's like when you look around at other fans enjoying the experience, there's a very sort of like, communal benefits here. People are excited to be here. They really want to talk about it. They get excited about how these things work. So as a golf tournament for the future, as a sporting event for the future, my first impression, having been here, amazing. Absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, the second we're done here.
Also, Spain. Valderrama. Incredible. Yeah, that was a particularly good weekend in July for me, going to Spain for the first time and then Valderrama, ever since I think it was the late or mid-90s watching Ryder Cup and then being there. So, guys, let's get a bit of context. Obviously, LIV started in June 2022. It was a bit of a out-of-the-blue event just outside of London. And then ultimately, it became officially the LIV Golf League in 2023. So it was 12 teams, 4 players per team, 14 events. And that's where it kind of started. We're now 3 seasons in of this format, Chris. Just from your perspective as a golf person and someone who understands how these tours work, what has been your sort of take in these first 3 years and any sort of surprises or things that really stood out?
Well, I think like anything, you know, it's a young business and it's navigating its way into what the future is going to be. And I think what's exciting right now is that, you know, all the headwinds are becoming tailwinds and it's kind of, it's finding its place in the world. And I think, you know, we've got our audience and the statistics are amazing at an event. You know, I mean, like 35% of fans coming through are females and 30% have never been to a golf event. So we're growing the game. We're introducing the game to new audiences around the world. And, you know, like Scott O'Neill always says, we're the F1 of golf. You know, we want to take this to all 4 corners of the globe. And, we're in a really exciting position now. You know, the sponsors are lining up, fans are growing, broadcast is huge. So it's just amazing that in such a short period of time, how LIV has grown so much. And I think the future is even more exciting.
So something that I picked up, that's why I wanted to share those kind of visuals from LIV Spain. The attention to detail at the event, how the course kind of comes alive, how suddenly a golf course is now so receptive to people having a great day out. Like, I was quite blown away. Granted, I haven't been to, I mean, this is why we got to have OG here for perspective. I haven't been to Augusta. I haven't been to an Open Championship. I've been to a Ryder Cup, which I thought was really great. I've been to all the local events here. But there was something tangibly different. OG, I mean, like, from your first time going, I mean, have you just physically been to Michigan for the team championship? You went to the JCB events as well. I mean, does that also something that kind of blows you away still, having that impression?
The biggest thing, I think, to a Chris was saying is if you look at the demographic of the people that actually attend the events, and I think they make the events what they are essentially as well, is that it's completely different. Like you get to an Open Championship, you see quite a number of young people, but not the same number that you get to see at a LIV event. And I think those guys are now getting into the era of consuming YouTube golf. So like, I mean, in Michigan, the amount of people that are following Bryson DeChambeau, for instance, and it's kids who don't maybe follow a regular golf on a PGA tour, maybe, but they know who that guy is. So the demographic has certainly changed. And I think it also then aligns with the fact that it's not all just the party atmosphere, but the golf is serious. I mean, you kind of tend to forget when you hear about LIV Golf that you got 54 of the best players in the world that still literally put out some of the best golf you've ever seen. Talking of Michigan and just how that ended, to see a playoff with Bryson DeChambeau alongside Paul Casey taking on Tyrrell Hatton and John Rahm. Like, It's like it's got sick. Major championship status, right? And talking about the Ryder Cup, it almost had that feel as well with the American crowd obviously rooting for Bryson and you know, the two-hole playoff like was really incredible in terms of showcasing the golf that those guys can produce, but also just the environment and just how much fun it is to actually be at a live event. And for me, the biggest takeaway once I had eventually got to JCB was that you actually forget how good the golfers are. So the level of golf that you see is incredible compared to anything you'll see in the world. At an Open Championship, at a Masters, it'll be a different atmosphere because of what the Masters is and what the Open Championship is. But this, I think for me, it really does speak to a younger crowd, and you see it within the people that actually attend the events.
So I think from an outside perspective, you watch these events and they all kind of, they got their own sort of feel almost to it. I mean, we're talking about being in Hong Kong 1 week, Miami another. And then Chris, where you've kind of got involved with LIV was JCB. So, I mean, that's middle of England, right?
Yeah.
Near your beloved Leeds. Tough time, I know, to talk about that.
We'll talk though. About that. But,
so what were your sort of takes in your initial events at the JCB LIV that you now want to sort of bring to South Africa? I mean, were you at that event going, this is great, I can only imagine how great it's going to be in SA?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the amazing things about LIV is that it's far more than just the best golfers in the world, right? You've got music, you've got art, you've got culture. And anywhere LIV goes, they want to celebrate that culture of that, you know, of that country, of that city. And so that's part of the DNA is actually taking that culture, plugging it into the event and celebrating it, right? And that's obviously pretty unique.
Yeah. And you know, speaking to that, I mean, what we experienced in South Korea is completely different from a culture perspective than what you'd get in America or in England. So I can only imagine, you know, a country like ours that's got so many flavors, just how we're going to celebrate that. So I'm definitely looking
forward
to it.
Lots of clippies and cola.
It's definitely going to be a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you would look at it from a clear tick box experiment, I think in the first three full seasons that we've seen, LIV wanted to become a better package golfing event and be more spectator friendly. So I think if you were taking initial sort of scorecard, because with every single LIV conversation, too much of my frustration I feel nowadays, you've got the guys who are just absolute haters. Yeah. But if you look at it from the thing, it's like, we want to package golf differently and do it differently. First three seasons have now shown that. And it's almost the perfect time for it now to come to SA. It's like the league has cut its teeth elsewhere. And now it's like the first sort of proper offshoot outpost kind of thing. So Chris, we need to talk about some of the logistics around that, because we all know huge events like this are difficult to put together. There's many moving parts. You said you're the F1 of golf. An F1 event is hectic. We've been trying to get it here in SA for a long time. It's not easy. LIV to a certain kind of scale is a very similar undertaking. So just run us through, I mean, I'm not looking for hard costs here, but I mean, run us through some of the logistics of how difficult it has been, say, to get it to South Africa, and just how monumental this event actually is going to be in scale.
I think, let me start with, you know, the relationship with the Minister of Sport. You know, OG is very close to Gayton, and we've formed wonderful friendships, and we've got the same vision and the same ambition to just deliver the most amazing event in South Africa. Logistically, we're going through building the actual vision as we speak, you know, so at the end of next week, we'll have that vision complete, and then we need to start putting the actual planning and delivery into motion. And so obviously, one of the biggest things is the venue. We need the space. A LIV event is a big event compared to a lot of other tour events. We've got a lot of infrastructure, a lot of hospitality, got the fan villages, you got the concerts. So you really do need the space to put on an event like LIV offers. And so,
well, I'm glad you touched on that, because another thing that I pick up from my general Saturday golf sessions is people are saying, why is it going to stay in city? Why isn't it going here, here, here? It's logistically, you need the space. It's just that big of a product.
You need the space. It's that big. But in addition, you know, Stain City is a Nicklaus golf course, and the design of that golf course is quite interesting. It's got lots of stadium kind of designed holes. So from a spectator viewing perspective, it's going to be amazing. You can be 10 rows back and you'll be able to see what's happening in front of you. So super cool. And obviously, you know, anywhere we go, we've got a wonderful relationship with the RNA agronomy team. We've got a partnership with them. And so we're going to bring those guys out and we'll get this golf course onto steroids, and it's going to be amazing.
All right. So when the tickets came out, huge demand straight away. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Live to this point is that you've had people go to the events and the crowds haven't been huge. I mean, I was in my element. I got to walk when I was at Live Spain, which I'll stop referencing here because it sounds like a big flex. Again, OG for perspective. Yeah. But I got to plan my day going, I want to watch Phil Mickelson for three holes. Yeah. I want to watch Bryson DeChambeau. I want to watch John Rahm. And I had such close proximity to them plotting their way around a golf course. And being the golf geek that I am, I'm looking at all the mannerisms of like pre-shot routine, engaging with a caddy. And it was so cool. So now, would I be right in saying that this may be the most sort of highly attended event as far as numbers?
Yeah, I mean, in South Africa, I think South Africa is starved of international sporting events and concerts and all these kind of things. So, you know, we started by launching a three-day early bird ticket option. And within the first couple of weeks, we sold 35,000, you know. So the market's just super excited and alive. And shortly, we'll be launching all the various different products which will be going out. And I think it's going to be a sold-out event before the end of the year, without a doubt.
Okay, so obviously when you say, for instance, you go for a site visit at Stain City, you start looking around. As you say, there's lots of space. There's a lot of like undulation and slopes that could be conducive to certain events. And then you and your team basically just design back from that.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got our DNA, our footprint of the products we want to offer from, you know, Birdie Shack, Party Hole, all this kind of thing. And so we want to take the winning formulas of what Live is, and then we look at what other opportunities there could be. Some golf courses allow for multiple opportunities, some don't. But I think here particularly, the stingers are so amped and, you know, they just think this is the gnarliest thing in the world. And, you know, I speak to them on a weekly basis and they're super excited. And so I think there's going to be far more stinger hospitality available. And it's definitely going to have that South African flair.
So for your average person who may be on the fence as far as attending an event like this, I mean, I can tell you from a golf perspective, the shotgun starts actually really cool. Yeah. I'd say, you guys don't need to say it. I think the way it's packaged, it makes everything so much more defined. And the shotgun starts really cool in that every golf is on the range at the same time. Mm-hmm. Stain City's got a great range. It's probably another reason why you guys have to have it there. So from a golfing perspective, I think it's going to be amazing. For your average kind of person who is maybe trying to sell the plus one to the wife, the girlfriend, or whatever it may be, what do you envision like the average day looking like as far as arriving to eventually leaving?
I think it's different for everyone. I mean, you get the golf nut who will want to be at the putting green from the time the first golfers start to come out. And as you mentioned, the guys have got a certain allocated time to be on the range. And you see that fill up early on because people want to get, and you, as you say, you get such close proximity to some of the best players you've ever seen. I mean, the fact that the likes of Phil Mickelson will be here. Sergio, for instance, who's been to South Africa a couple of times, is looking forward to coming back. You get to experience those guys. So you actually get to line up around the putting green, the practice facilities, before you actually can pick where you want to go and actually watch them. But there's people who literally come just to experience the family orientated experiences that are there. You might find a mother that might just bring the kids to be with them, and there's so much activities for them to do if they're not a golf nut. Then you find people, it wasn't as much in Michigan that I saw, but I know in Korea there were people who were there at like 1 o'clock, maybe watched a little bit of golf and already lining up for the concert. Yeah. So you kind of also bringing in a new audience of guys that you're hoping maybe they do sit and watch a couple of holes and then might be interested and start playing the game. Then you might find a golfer who's never really been to a concert. There's a plus side of then staying behind and then experiencing that. And then you might want to come out. So I've been preaching to people to say, don't just buy a ticket for one day, actually. If you can, buy for multiple days, because you're going to get such a great experience. So if you're trying to sell a plus one, there's so much more than just the golf that's on offer for you to do.
And the whole thing with the concerts, I mean, this is going to be a daily thing. So Thursday kicks off Sunday. Friday to Sunday.
So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have a concert each day. We'll have some, obviously, we want to celebrate local artists too. So we'll have an international act coming in, but we'll also have local artists. And, you know, to your point, what's not to like?
Yeah.
It's the most, I mean, for a family to come out and spend the whole day at Stain City, it's just amazing. There's nothing like it. Best golfers in the world, art, music, culture, fun for the kids. I mean, those fan villages, they're amazing, right? It's hard to get the kids out of it. Yeah. So, I would just say, you know, anybody that hasn't been, or as you say, is on the fence with Live, just come experience it. You won't regret it.
So, important question here. We've spoken about how the golf is still focused on. It's still very serious. It's very competitive. The guys want to win.
Yeah.
And it's not just because there's so much money in the purse, whatever. The season is so engaging all the way through. Every event counts. How often do the players actually draw at the concerts as well?
Oh, man. I'll before I get you to that story, I'll tell you about the previous one. But at all of them, pretty much, the guys go out. Yeah. Before I get to the story, you think golf doesn't matter to these guys, John Rahm loses to Adrian Morong in the semifinals. And his team scrapes through. They win 2-1 and get to the final. But he was there for close to 2 hours just working on 3-foot, 5-foot putts because he was missing those all day. If you're thinking this guy's just there to pick up a check, he's not going to be there an hour after play, you know, just literally working on 3-foot putts.
They are so competitive.
It is so competitive. And you could see in the playoff just how much that helped because how they hit those shots, him and Tyrrell, under that much pressure to literally give himself the same putt that he missed the day before. And twice in the playoff, drains those. Mm. And now you go back and you're like, oh, I saw the guy on the practice range actually after play working on that. And now he's figured it out again. And at the party, it's quite cool. That's the one thing is that you actually get to mix with the players. You get the players that are there. For me, what like a guy like Mito Pereira has been relegated from Live, but it was actually quite cool to see him let his hair down and then come out to the concert, celebrate with the fans and enjoy it. But yeah, my man of the match was Adrian Morong, Jamie to Swedish House Mafia. he's the tallest guy out there. And so you can't miss him when he's actually jamming. So the fact that the players come out and you get to jowl with them as well. And the artists are amazing. So I'm pretty sure that South Africa is also going to have an incredible lineup. So if you're not there for the golf, just come out for all the other stuff that's going to be on offer.
And Chris, like attending these kind of things after the golf like that, I mean, this is something that you guys get stuck in with every single time. Again, this is the parallels with F1 are so good because F1's known for their after parties. F1's known for the fact that it's been a tough week, you know, especially with them with the qualifying and the pre-race, all that kind of stuff. But it culminates in that thing. I mean, is this something that you feel like is growing every single time you guys do one of these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the feedback after every single tournament and the excitement is just, it's electric, right? You know, every single time we're involved in an event or, you know, mates of mine go to an event, they come back and they just want more, you know? And it was interesting. I was talking to a buddy of mine and he also went to Spain and he said to me, it was so good. I couldn't even remember who won. He said, I had to think twice about who won the event. He said, I was just so like in love with the whole experience and how it made me feel. And he said, I didn't want it to end. He said, it was just so special and wonderful. And he said, it just, you know, it was far beyond his expectations.
Now, at this stage of the conversation, if you think this is just one massive Live glazing over, I've been to less events worldwide than my two guests over here, but there is something that definitely grabs you about this. And there's a reason why I think there is quite a lot of hype that's going into this event, and it's genuinely real. So, Chris, I mean, like when it comes to the final sort of touches now, like you spoke, I mean, how golf tournaments generally work, if you're looking on the DP World Tour or whatever it may be, is that the course goes through a preparation where people from overseas come around and monitor the golf course. Now, I would imagine this becomes very intensive. I mean, it's happening now already. You start looking at things, right? When does your team really hit the ground and start putting everything together for the final product?
So I would say, you know, we're full steam from the 15th of September. We're full steam. You know, we've done a lot of the kind of, like I said, visionary planning and what could this look like and what do we want to achieve here. We've appointed our international EMC company called We Are 54, and they're amazing. They do tons of live events around the world for us. And yeah, we've appointed our tournament director, which is super exciting. And all the hardcore stuff will start from next month, which is, you know, and that'll build up, right? You know, so as we get into the growing season on the golf course, all the player requirements and experiences that we want to put on, because it's more than just the players, it's also their families and, you know, friends that are coming to the event. So by the time we get to the end of November, we'll have our compound set up. And we'll start the actual build itself. And so by early March, we'll see what the tournament's going to be infrastructure-wise. And then it's all the attention to detail and you start getting ready for that fan experience.
So something that's slightly different to where I look at this is that I have long believed that Joburg is potentially the best golf city in the world. When you think of what you get diversity of courses, you get the most incredible weather all year round, you get awesome buggers like OG and I that will play a golf at a drop of a hat. And it's also just it's hugely affordable and that people can come and tour from around the country. I think a lot of people forget that Joburg is a golfing hub. Garden Route's a massive one, obviously. We've all had proper Joel at Sun City playing Gary Player, Lost City. Places like Highland Gate have come to prominence in recent years. And then the KZN North Coast, it just continues to grow. I mean, the most recent golf course has been built there in that region. OG, do you see this as like as another solid reminder that people should actually be touring Joburg and the region that much more as a golfer?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you one of the biggest things that you kind of saw over the weekend is the amount of players, even their families that come and say, listen, we're looking to actually stay on for like another week post the event. What do you recommend we do? And obviously, I think for a lot of the international guys, the safari is on offer. They want to see what's out there for them to do post the tournament, right? But I think once you land in Joburg, there is also that much more for you to do. For the average guy that will be visiting, and a lot of fans were also asking about the fact that they want to come to South Africa. If you think about it, in the radius of 20 kilometers of where we are, we've got so many incredible golf courses. And the beauty about LIV is that you're getting a 1 o'clock shotgun start. So in the morning, you could literally fit in 18 holes before you actually head out to Steyn City. And what's been great for me is seeing just even traffic management, the in and out of going to all the events I've been to is seamless. The beauty about the shotgun start is literally in 5 hours, the golf is done. You're actually kind of looking for more and it's done. You're over to the next activities. Even once those are finished, just how seamlessly people leave the golf course. So the experience in itself in totality for the day is super amazing. But there's so much to do in South Africa. You could head out to Soweto and have cultural experiences there. You could head out to the inner city and watch stuff there or do stuff there. I think we've got the most incredible restaurants in South Africa. So what they're going to experience from a culinary point of view as well will be completely different to what they used to everywhere else. So Joburg, I think, as a start, is such a superb sort of venue. And Steyn City itself, I mean, once you're in there, you could get locked in for a week pretty much.
It is just so great. Like I would almost see it strong enough just to have LIV Joburg. We keep it here. Chris, I know it's too early to talk about this, but obviously the idea is for it not to be a once-off. We're looking at a legacy kind of thing here, potentially taking it elsewhere in the country. But I mean, I'm from Cape Town, guys. I'm going to say this objectively. There's no better place in the country than Johannesburg for golf. And I think what's really cool about this as well is that it also then enhances, say, the Joburg Open on the Sunshine Tour. Anything else that's happening in this town, it's like, okay, cool. Well, I love this so much. I'm going to go watch Joburg Open at Houghton or vice versa. It just keeps adding to how incredible golf is in South Africa. And that to me is what makes me like truly happy. Like I could be going on a golf tour around the world and people will say, oh, where do you play? I'm like, well, I play here. It's like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's where the LIV event was. And like, it just makes people want to travel to this place more. And let's be honest, travel is what creates employment. It creates so much for infrastructure. This event itself, Chris, I mean, obviously there will be a rand value of how it in impacts economies locally. So yeah, it's actually mind-boggling how, when we think about international events and how great they are for an event, sorry, for a town, is that we should probably put more effort and emphasis on this kind of stuff going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this is probably the biggest sporting event to hit South Africa since the World Cup. The economic impact is going to be huge. The CSR impact is going to be huge. But like you say, for golf as a whole in Johannesburg, wow, the next kind of 8 months is absolutely sensational. I don't think we've ever had a golf calendar that's looked like this before, right? And so, and that's one of the beauties of LIV. It kind of unlocks this amazing opportunity to grow the game. It stirs up interest, and it's just super exciting.
Yeah, it really is quite a summer. I mean, OG, you're gonna be working very hard at this, obviously, with your super sport commitments
in between golf 8 days a week, right?
I don't know how much golf I want to play in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I've seen OG's handicaps a bit like mine. It's don't be fooled by what you see on social media. So I mean, OG, from here, obviously Sunshine Tour has kicked off again.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of local events. The guys are traveling around all the various places. And then we've got Ryder Cup to look forward to from a golfing perspective. Obviously, we're recording this on the Wednesday, so we're not sure if Keegan Bradley has included himself or not. I really hope he does. Mid-November, we've got the race to Dubai, the finals, everything happening. And then the DP World Tour SA Swing. So, I mean, ultimately, the big highlight for us traditionally has always been the Nedbank.
Yeah.
So that's what, December 4th to the 7th. And then SA Open this year, next year, is particularly interesting because the guy who wins the SA Open now goes to the Masters. Because there was originally, you get a ticket to the Open, right?
Yeah.
So now the SA Open winner, so that's going to be 27th of February to 3rd of March. That's in Stellenbosch?
Stellenbosch Golf Club is hosting the next SA Open, which is going to be incredible. But just that news that recently came through that, you know, the pathways that are being created, especially for guys that play like on the Sunshine Tour.
Amazing. I mean,
that's huge. For Dylan Naidu, who won at Durban Country Club, just the opportunity to play in his first major championship at Royal Portrush in the Open. He talks about it like it's something you dream of these things as a kid, right? That you want to play golf, play in the majors. And he got to, you know, experience playing. I think he played with Justin Thomas in a practice round, which is incredible. And those are the opportunities that the sport provides. And especially starting here at home. And now that, you know, the winner of the SA Open is going to get to play in the Masters. That's so just cool. Mind-boggling. You know?
So cool.
So I actually was chatting to Dylan. I was like, are you in? Is it? He's like, no, only next year's winner. I'm like, now you just have to defend your title. You
know? Even more incentive.
So I'm just hoping it's going to be a South African that wins because that's such a massive opportunity. But you're right, Ben. I think the one thing we are as South Africans is spoiled. I mean, you got the NGC coming at the end of the year. I think for us, also being linked with Royal Johannesburg, we're kind of stoked that Alfred Daniel is coming to Royal Johannesburg.
That's pretty huge as well.
So that's going to be huge as well. And it's cool because there's so many opportunities, especially now in the run-up to the end of the year for the guys on the Sunshine Tour to get on the winner's circle, get themselves qualified for those co-sanctioned events. And as you've seen, I mean, the potential for what can happen for these guys is hugely incredible. On Live Golf, you got four great South Africans that also want to be able to come back and play in some of those events. I think Louis will be playing in the Dunhill, if I'm not mistaken. We saw Dean coming back and win one of the Vodacom Origins of Golf events at Obai. So they'll be coming back to play in a couple of those. The South African Open, I'm sure they'll be coming back to play in that as well. So much to look forward to in South African golf, and it's going to be a busy summer.
See, OG, I can just bottle your enthusiasm and just run with it because this is what it is, guys. And I think, you know, prior to us talking about LIV and envisaging how it's going to work, the biggest crowd I think we saw outside of the Nedbank Golf Challenge was when Rory McIlroy came to the S Open in Glendower.
Yeah.
I remember being at that event. I had Inside the Ropes access, and there was something so palpably amazing about the fact that the fairways were lined like four or five deep. And it was like that for the entire round. I remember the first two rounds, Rory played with George Coetzee and Brandon Stone. Mm. I spoke to Brandon afterwards and I said like, wow, this is quite something. He's like, I've never played in a crowd like this.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. This is a guy who's won on the DP World Tour. He's traveled the world. So you just mentioned now, like you win the SA Open, you get to go to the Masters. So that's going to incentivize big names to come to the country. And the more big name golfers come to SA, the bigger the crowds are. And suddenly these events become commonplace. We don't just see like, oh, I watched the Springboks live and I might catch a PSL game and the Proteas. Now it's like every year I go to these golf events, big stuff. Now, Chris, I mean, this is the most mind-blowing thing as well is that if you go through the talent in LIV, all the big names, we've got major champions. We've got guys like further down the line like Lee Westwood, who's a huge name as it is, been around forever. But to get to see Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Phil Mickelson, Joachim Niemann, those kind of guys – you physically need to go to a major championship to see it. But now these guys are coming to the country. Like I cannot understate enough like how much of a pool and how unique it is for South African golfers to have that.
And I think in addition, you get so close to the players that live. You know, it's not like a traditional golf tournament. The fans are like right there, you know, and the players are in such a good space and they have such a good vibe about them that they interact more with the fans, you know. So whether you're on the first tee, putting green, out on the golf course, you can literally get super close to these guys. And, you know, I remember as a kid going up to Nedbank. That's what inspired me to get into golf, right? And I look at all these kids at a LIV event. It's incredible. And you can just see these guys are looking at Bryson and, you know, all these guys, and they're going, that's my dream, right? And you're inspiring the next generation. So it's super cool. And you know, these players, they're really good with the fans. Eh? It's quite incredible.
Yeah, there's something that I picked up. I mean, obviously, I'm too old to ask for autographs, but I stood from a distance, and it is after every round. But again, I think it's because the guys are actually quite bought into what it's about. You get guys who travel the world and play the tours as professionals, and they're entitled to act and behave as exactly how they want. But the guys that I picked up was like, I kind of work for Liv. I work at Liv. I'm a part of this. And for a kid to be able to have that access rather than seeing someone from afar,
yeah,
that would make me want to get back into it.
I saw these three, I'm going to say 7-year-olds in Michigan. Like so I think you go from the 9th green, you kind of walk up a hill to get to the 10th tee box. And they probably stood there for like an hour just, you know, literally collecting high fives. But I think once the Bryson one came, they just lost their mind. Yeah. And it was like asking, mommy, did you record that? And she's like, yeah, I got it. And I think for them, that's like the year made, you know what I mean? And therefore for South African kids, the fact that you're going to have that opportunity to have access to those guys, I think you as a parent, you want to take your kids there. And the beauty about it is that kids under 12 are going to get in for free. So you kind of have no excuse, especially if you're trying to inspire your kids or if your kids love the game or you want to get them into the game. It's probably the best place to take them to really showcase what golf is about in the country. And we're hoping afterwards it will have a trickle event, as you may effect afterwards, that guys will then go, you know, watch the SA Open, watch the Joburg Open, watch the Coast Sanction, even the Sunshine Tour event. So I think for growing the game, it's incredible. And I'm looking forward to what it's going to do next year.
Yeah, I totally agree here. I mean, like OG, we've had the privilege to be able to pick and choose where we want to go in this country. To know that people are going to go watch live event and then suddenly they're going to look at the Sunshine Tour schedule and go, you know what, I'm going to go to that one as well.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to go to that one as well. And then the kids will be looking at that saying, like, Dad, we've got to go.
Yeah.
Like there is nothing but positives. The domino effect, I think, on the back of this event is going to be absolutely huge. Chris, I want to kind of wrap it up with some technical questions from your side. Having known what these events are, people might wonder, there was the early bird special. So it was basically, there was one kind of hospitality and there was a 3-day general pass. How diverse are the options of ticketing going to happen from here as we get closer to the event?
Yeah, so there's you know, the full product launch, you know, goes out in the next 2 weeks and there'll be an array, you know, from GA Plus going all the way up to various different hospitality options.
Sorry, what's GA Plus?
So GA Plus just gives you a little bit more access than your general access ticket. Yeah. So there's certain viewing platforms and other little perks. And so there's literally something for everybody. And I think from a value proposition perspective and kids under 12 for free, it's remarkable.
That is amazing. Yeah, guys, look, there is so much that I want to kind of get it right this, but it is still early days. I think if we can just park it here for the time being, like I said, I'm excited for the greater halo effect I think is bringing to SA Golf. And people kind of, maybe we get a bit blasé about it because we see so much online and on screens. Mm. But to have the physical star quality of golfers on the ground here in SA is going to be absolutely groundbreaking in all ways. It really is. So let's park the discussion here. I think when those tickets become online, obviously just follow Liv online, social media channels.
That's it.
Stay up with the news on that. I personally cannot wait for this. So guys, just to give you a little insight, like in my WhatsApp groups, I'm sure it's the same with you. I've got guys from around the country that have already booked accommodation in Joburg for that week. Yeah. We've already talking about 2 or 3 rounds in the week itself.
Absolutely.
Where I know, so obviously, again, just a snapshot here. We're playing Royal Johannesburg East. Have to. I mean, as you mentioned it, the Dunhill is going to be there for this SA swing. Yeah. It's one of the best courses in the country. We're going to have, I think, 16 Oaks currently playing on the Tuesday of the event. So we're going to have a nice proper day out. Then there's probably, I think 27 of the top 100 golf courses in South Africa are in a 20-kilometer radius of this place here. So I've got guys coming up for that. We're going to play 2 rounds at least before the tournament. And then I've got guys staying in after the tournament to do exactly the same.
I mean, that just the internal tourism that's being created from that on its own is incredible. I mean,
think about the knock-on effect in every single regard. How many hotels have been booked? How many beers? And, you know, we're not just talking live golf. We're saying the knock-on effect over the next, you know, that kind of window of 4 months of extreme golf and the knock-on effect of beers sold and clubs bought and green fees paid, it's just remarkable for Joburg.
Speaking of beers, Chris, I do have a bone to pick with Liv. look, I wasn't going to say it, but you know what? There was 42 South Africans went to Valderrama in the birdie shack. They ran out of beer on the last day.
It's because there were 42 South Africans.
I'm sorry, but I mean, like,
I think we're going to try to do a deal with SAB for South Africa, and then we'll make sure that issue does not occur.
Teething problems. This is constructive feedback here.
It's very constructive, right?
It was a hot day at Valderrama, and we went through it, huh? Jeepers. But again, those guys from Tourvest, they party like it's.
Well, I'll guarantee that will not happen in South Africa.
Okay, sure. Okay, that's the major thing I wanted to get out of this podcast. Cool. So, Chris, we're going to look out for tickets as they keep coming out. I think in the lead up to the event, it'd be really great to kind of hit the ground at Stain City to kind of give more perspective. If I could ask, let's get some access around that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to have a follow-up to say, like, when we speak about amphitheater areas for fans, that kind of stuff, I'd love to actually just see what that really means.
Yeah.
Because, again, the average person who might just think a golf event is watching guys play around and stuff, it's amazing what you can do with a golf course. Golf courses are fascinating places.
Yeah.
And as you say, with like these very little viewing points, fan villages and all that kind of stuff, to really hit home how fun this is going to be.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go out there and, you know, I'll give you guys a tour and, you know, hopefully we can also try a line with a couple of the Stingers. Maybe they can join us. That'll be cool.
Well, Edgy and I obviously want to take someone on.
Yeah, sure.
A little better.
Sure. And who better than Charles and Louis, right?
You know what I'm saying? Let's do it.
They're going to be nervous. OG, like I said, this is a huge golfing season ahead. Yeah, you physically are traveling around it all the time. Just please share your social media so no one's going to miss that.
Listen.
And also, can I actually say, could you please post a bit more? I know you're a busy man.
I'll try.
I've stopped following him. I just get jealous. So.
It's a lot of work.
The thing is, I don't get jealous because he's the only guy who can live his life. So therefore, I just admire him.
But yeah, follow OG_Molefe everywhere. I'll try to post a little bit more.
There we go.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Exactly. Got all the basics together here. We're not going to run out of beer. OG's going to post more. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. It's been great to catch up with you again. And in many ways, I've been around sport for so long now, I feel. Like, we're all similar ages. I'm the oldest amongst all of you.
I was about to say.
And it's really nice when you can punctuate your year with something that's going to give you actual excitement. Huh? Yeah. I mean, I know we have it with rugby. I know we have it with cricket. Football's on the up and up. We've got Bafana doing new things. World Cup next year. There's all these things that get me really excited. This is definitely one of them. Okay. See, I start to not make sense once my excitement levels kind of go further than my English. All right, guys. So, yeah, LIV Golf 2026 in March. It's going to be really massive. We've got a huge golfing season in the lead-up towards that. We're going to touch on it as we go. Ryder Cup will be the next golf show. We're going to do that as well in September because that is a huge big deal.
Before we go, it'll be problematic if I don't say this. The other cool thing that you can actually look forward to is that we've actually been working on a Stingers documentary for the past year. So in the lead up to the event next year, in the lead up to the guys coming back home, look out for that towards the end of the year. 24th September, we'll do an official launch. Might be at a golf club near you, so look out for the info at your golf club. So we'll be at certain golf clubs. The guys will be around. We're not too sure yet which clubs they'll be at, so they might be coming to your club. But 24th of September, we'll start the launch for the documentary coming up later in the year.
I traveled back with Dean Burmester, which is, I'm still seeing a psychologist about from the UK. But he showed me some of the kind of, you know, the edited versions and what it's going to look like. It is going to be an incredible story. Yeah. It is going to be really cool.
Well, guys, I'm glad you brought it up. We're actually going to be interviewing Chris Green around that. Chris Green,
cool.
If you guys like Chasing the Sun and those kind of things, you know, TNW do incredible work. Chris is...
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
Phenomenal guy.
I flew back with Chris from Michigan now, and he was going through all this footage just from Michigan, and it's incredible.
Yeah, so, guys, there is layers to this whole golfing thing. There's a reason I'm bringing it up. So we're actually going to have Chris join us for a whole interview around that documentary.
Yeah.
And awesome. I mean, it's the behind-the-scenes stuff. It's just, I mean, you and I get to spend a lot of time with the guys, but for everybody else to see them in that space and relax behind the scenes, it's awesome. Yeah. Really cool.
Spoiler alert, if you like me talking about golf, I'm also in it. So yeah, huge thing, guys. Golf is just, damn, I'm excited. Anyway, Catch you back next week. We're obviously getting into a variety of sports as we always do. As of this week, actually, I'm going to go to FNB Stadium with Shaz. I'm going to watch his team get absolutely dismantled by Sundowns this week. And naturally, I'm going to give you those insights and those visuals. Next up, we've got Masma Ponyani coming into studio, something for the ladies, I know. And we're going to talk about sports drip. We're all going to be in our third kits from our respective clubs. And we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other football stuff. So that is next week on The Bounce Show. Catch it then. And tell your friends, like, subscribe, and all those good things. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Cheers.
It was awesome.